The passage we're looking at today is John 14, verses 1 through 14. And if you want, you can look it up in your Bible, on your Bible app, on your phone, or on your device. We'll also have it on the screen back behind me when we get to that reading. But we're continuing our series in the I Am statements of Jesus in the book of John. And this week, the I Am statement is, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And so we'll be looking at that, we'll be examining that in just a moment when we get to it. But to start out with, when I was a kid, I had test anxiety. Does anybody know what test anxiety is? Has anybody had it? And I think it can be circumstantial or it could be something that you just struggle with your entire life. Well, you know, I hated standardized tests. I couldn't stand them. You know, and so I dreaded the ACT, and, you know, when I was in college and I wanted to go to law school, I dreaded the LSAT. I never felt confident. I hated taking tests, and it wasn't anything that anybody did to me, you know, it was just something that kind of welled up in me right before I would take a test. I don't know what I'm going to do. It may have been because I didn't study, but, you know, but I just didn't like tests. And, you know, when you have anxiety and you're going in, you start to get that self-doubt. And if you have enough self-doubt and it affects your performance over time, you lose some of your self-esteem. And so you lose some of your swagger. When I was in Vicksburg, we had several kids that played baseball, and I would go watch them play, and they just seemed to have a swagger about themselves. And I'd say, man, you guys go out there, y'all seem really cocky when y'all take the field. And they said, well, our coaches have always taught us that if you go out in the field and you don't have some swagger, it could affect how you play. And so, you know, they played with swagger. Jesus' disciples in this passage, you can start seeing some doubt. They're losing their swagger in what they believe about Jesus. And he is speaking to them to try to encourage them that the things that they had said about him previously are true, and they can hold on to those things. Right? So let's look now at John chapter 14, starting in verse 1. It says, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come and I will take you to myself, that where I am, you may also be. And you know the way where I'm going." And Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How can we know the way?" And Jesus said to him, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." And Philip said to him, "Lord, show us the Father, and it is enough for us." And Jesus said to him, "Have I been with you so long, and you still do not know me, Philip? Whoever has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in him and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. All right, so Thomas is earning his reputation here, right? We've heard that doubting Thomas before, right? He's earning it again. Right, we see it later, and I'll talk about that a little bit later. But he again is earning that reputation as doubting Thomas. Jesus is saying, he doesn't just say it to Thomas, he says it to all the disciples. Guys, you've been with me this entire time. You've seen all these things that I do. And yet you still have this lingering doubt about who I am. You don't truly understand me. He says, you know of me, basically, but you don't know me fully yet. So that's been a recurring theme going on in this I Am series, is that idea of knowing about Jesus, knowing about a Messiah, yet not actually knowing the fullness of who he is. Again, there's this misconception of who Jesus is, and I'm sure it applied to his disciples as well. They were looking for a Messiah that was going to come and be a militaristic leader. And so when Jesus' ministry is winding down and he's telling them, look, I'm going to die. I'm going to the cross. You guys should expect this. They're starting to doubt whether or not they chose to follow the right guy. So they don't know that what Jesus is telling them is fitting within the Messiah that they thought he was going to be. And he's basically saying, you still doubt me. You've seen my works. Let the works speak for themselves. You've seen what I have done. How is that not enough? But guess what? You know, you can trust what I say. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am who you've been claiming that I am. Just in the previous chapter, we see where Peter says, Jesus, I'm going to die. I'm willing to die for you. And Jesus says, you say that right now, but when it comes, when push comes to shove, when the rubber hits the road, you're going to deny me before other people. And we know that story as well. Most of us do. That Peter denied him. On Jesus' worst day on earth, where he's being led from place to place, being put on trial, being charged with things that he didn't do, being led to his death, Peter denied him three times. And all the other disciples fled. They disappeared. They said, we don't want to get caught up in this violence that's going on with Jesus, because we may be next. So their doubts lingered, not just from this time, but even until Jesus was resurrected from the dead, right? And so here they are, they're huddled together, and Jesus appears among them. Their doubts should have ended then, but what did Thomas ask at that point? Doubting Thomas said, let me feel your wounds. So it took Thomas feeling the wounds of Jesus to finally say, okay, maybe he is who he says he is. Maybe he is. So could you imagine being Thomas, you know, being one of many who doubted, but being the one that got identified as the one who was doubting? Doubting Thomas. That moniker sticks with him through history, you know. But he was in good company. So we're going to look at how Jesus talks about I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm going to break it down in those three categories, the way first, then the truth, then the life. So Jesus says, I am the way. I worked for a boss when I was working for the Boy Scouts, and he was a workaholic. He never wanted to go home. And at some point he admitted, I do not like going home. He said, even when I go home, he said, I have to convince myself to go in the house. He said, I could sit in my driveway for hours trying to gin up the courage to go inside. He didn't like going home that much. You know, I'm the opposite. You know, I know that when I get home, there's going to be chaos, right? It's going to take some time to decompress, but I have to go home. I long to go home. Have you ever been away for a long vacation? What's the one thing you say when you get home? It's good to be home, right? One of the best things after being gone for a long time is to be able to sleep in your own bed, right? Because there's no other bed in the world that's as comfortable as the bed you've made for yourself at home. And so, you know, we talk about home being a warm place to be. It's a place that we long to be. But this world is not our home. We all have this longing for something deeper, something bigger, something that was broken. You know, when sin came into the world, our relationship with God was broken. There is now this void between us and God the Father, us and what is home. C.S. Lewis basically says, you know, there are things that we try to fill this void with, but those things don't fill that void. And so if those things that we try to fill the void with don't fill the void, maybe we were created for something different. And that different, that thing that we're longing for is not things of this world, but it is that repaired relationship with God. The void, we try to fill it with stuff. You know, there's a bunch of different things that we may be looking to try to fill it with. Maybe power or money or influence. Some people look to alcohol and drugs, substance abuse. You know, some might try to fill it with their favorite sports teams. You know, what about self-righteousness? We all try to fill this void that's in our lives with things that will not satisfy, that will not bring salvation. And it creates in us this still longing for heaven. Some people just don't get it and they follow after those things, seeking fulfillment, and they just never find it. That's the thing about all of those things, is they will all fail to provide what we're looking for. They will. Even self-righteousness. I was studying, Matt Chandler said, one of the things about self-righteousness is it's an offering that we're trying to give to God to say, you need to accept us. Right? So what are we offering God? Well, we're not offering perfection, as in Jesus Christ. We're offering that I'm better than that person over there, or I'm better than that person over there, because I've managed to get my life together better than Susan or George, right? And when we offer that up to God, what does He say? That's not enough. But guess what? I have given you enough. Jesus is the way. That void, that chasm between us and God, it is bridged by Jesus Christ. If we place our faith in Him, that void is filled permanently. And it's filled wholly. Because if that void is filled by Jesus Christ, it's filled eternally. And we find our way back to where we're trying to go, which is back into the loving grace of God. Through Jesus Christ. Acts 4:12 says, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Jesus is the only means to find salvation with God. He is the way. As the world would tell you, there are many paths to get to where you're going. There are many things that will even get you back to God, including your own self-righteousness, being a good person. But that is counter-scriptural. That goes against everything our Bible teaches us. It goes against everything that our Savior teaches us. Jesus says, I am the way. I'm not one among many. I am the way. And you can trust in that. He also says that I am the truth. I am the truth. Jesus is a visible, tangible display of the love of God. He tells us the truth, the true nature of who God is. God is not a distant God who set things in motion and said, okay, you guys work it out. He's very present in everything. He's very present in our lives. We can look at Scripture and we can see story upon story of His mercy and His grace displayed through His ministry. You know, we can look at the lives of everybody in this room and we can see where He has been working grace and mercy in each life if we've come to know Him. You know, I look at times in my life where I saw God moving, and that gives me courage in knowing that He is the God He says He is in Scripture. Even in the I Am series that I've been going through, we've seen His mercy and grace over and over again. If you think about the woman at the well, He knew of her adultery. He knew everything about her. He didn't condemn her. He told her the truth about who He was, and he helped her to come to faith. And as she came to faith, there was grace, there was forgiveness. And she went back and she told everybody about Him, right? What about the woman that was caught in adultery? I am the light. He shone light into that situation. He did not condemn her. He said, "You're forgiven. Go and sin no more." He showed her grace. He showed her love. He showed her compassion. You know, Jesus fed 5,000 people. His disciples were saying, "Send them home so they can go get some food." And He had compassion and He said, "No, I'm not going to send them home. They came to hear from Me. I'm going to teach them, but I'm also going to feed them." He performed a miracle in doing that, but He had compassion on them and He fed them. He didn't send them away. And you can think of the countless numbers of stories where He healed people physically. He also showed the truth of God's nature and the sacrifice that He gave for us. See, he was in heaven at the right hand of God the Father. What better place could you think of being? Yet He gave that up, sacrificially coming to earth, coming to this place, the place that we're longing to get away from. He said, "I'm going to be here. I'm going to walk among you. I'm going to teach you, and I'm going to provide an example. But then I'm going to do even more, because I'm going to lay down My life for you. The reason I'm doing that is because I love you more than you could ever dare to dream. My compassion, My mercy, My grace is a very visible and tangible exhibit of the love of God, the truth of who He is. He is the truth." Then He says He's the life. "I'm the way, I'm the truth, I'm the life." He brings life to those who have faith in Him. When you have placed your faith in Him, He moves greatly in your life to change you. He gives you the Holy Spirit, which empowers you to put your sin behind you. He says, "I'm coming into your life, and I'm going to allow you the ability to turn away from your sin, to repent, and then to live a life in obedience to Me. I give you new life. I give you the ability to stop doing those things that separate you from God, and then to live for the things that would repair that relationship with Him." You know what? That process of becoming more and more like Me is not going to be fulfilled in this life, but I am giving you the ability to turn away from your sin and to follow after Me. But it's even bigger than that. Because He died on the cross to bring salvation to all those who have faith in Him, He demonstrated power over sin and death. But then He rose from the dead, demonstrating that the resurrection is real and that eternal life is something that He gives to all those who have faith in Him. So eternal life, through faith in Jesus Christ, is a reality. He's calling us to place our faith in Him. And we gather together on Sunday to be reminded of those truths, of His love, of His mercy, of His gift of salvation and eternal life. He wants us to be reminded over and over and over and over again of these things so that we can be encouraged in our faith, so that we can be living for Him. And Christian, we should have swagger in knowing that He is the way, the truth, and the life. We need our confidence back. Thomas needed a confidence jolt, right? So when he felt the wounds, you know, when he felt the wounds of Jesus Christ, he then, you know what? He did what all the other disciples did, and he went out and he testified about Jesus Christ. And what happened to most of the disciples, besides John? They all were martyred for teaching about Jesus Christ. Thomas's doubt went away. He needed that. But he went out into the world with swagger and said, "You can do whatever you want to do to me. You can kill me if you want, but I will not deny my God." Peter did the same thing. He denied Jesus the day that he was going to be killed. Yet when it came time for him to die, he died testifying about his Savior. We need swagger like that, guys. As followers of Christ, we need to tell the world about who He is. That song that we sang in Sunday school, "This Little Light of Mine." There you go, right? I'm going to let it shine. I'm going to let it shine, you know? And then what's the next verse? "Hide it under a bushel?" No. I'm going to let it shine, right? You don't hide it under a bushel. I didn't give you the slide. I'm sorry. But it says in, Matthew, "Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." Christ said, "You are going to do works greater than mine." And he "I don't think we're going to do works great." He was saying, "I'm going away and you guys are left here to do the work. Y'all need to go out with swagger and do and continue doing what I've already started." Right? So thousands of people have come to believe in me while I've been here. But millions upon millions of people are going to come to know who I am through you and your testimony. So as a follower of Christ, don't hide your light under a bushel or a bowl. Let it shine. Put it on a lampstand. Let the whole world see it. Walk around with some swagger, doing the works that He has given us, because He is going before us and preparing the way so that when we take the gospel, there are going to be people that are ready to hear the truth, and they're going to come to know Christ. Not because we helped them do it, but because God was working in their hearts. And when they heard it from us, we get the blessing of seeing them come to know who He is. Then we get to see the blessing of the sanctuary being full, our nurseries and our children's classrooms being full, our home groups being full, our Sunday school classes being full, because we are seeing people transformed in the way that we have been transformed. In knowing who Jesus Christ is, we are able to repent, turn from our sins, turn to Him, and to live obediently for Him so that our light will shine. And I can't ever remember who to attribute this quote to, but the light that shines farthest shines brightest at home. If we can shine a light right here in Falcon and we can demonstrate to the world that we are on fire for Christ and people come to know Him, it will spread beyond Falcon to Pueblo, to Denver, to who knows where, to all the countries we send missionaries to. We've been called to live with this understanding that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. Because He is, we can be bold in sharing the truth. because there's nothing that this world has to offer that is better than eternal life through faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. So, we're coming to the table today to be reminded of the sacrifice that was made on our behalf. The elements represent the blood of Christ shed on our behalf and Christ's body, which if you understand what he went through, was mangled and torn for us. Christ willingly went to the cross to demonstrate his love to us. And this table is just a reminder of his love. This table is for all those who have placed their faith in Christ. So if you have placed your faith in Christ, come in the confidence knowing that this table is for you. If you have not yet placed your faith in Christ, we'd ask that you would take this time to reflect where you are and pray to receive him so that the next time we come to the table that you can come with us as a brother and sister in Christ, knowing that he is the way, the truth, and the life.